In this episode of Tucker Center Talks, I talk to Pam Baker, founder of the Women's Coaching Alliance. Pam sought to honor the legacy of her beloved husband, Doug, a coach himself, who passed away in 2020. Doug often wondered aloud, where are all the women coaches? So when he passed away, in the midst of her grief and being thrown into single parenting of twin daughters, during a global pandemic, Pam started the Women's Coaching Alliance, which is built on the premise that when more young women see coaching experience as leadership experience, more girls will raise their hands to coach. The Women's Coaching Alliance reaches young women athletes at a critical stage, strengthening their confidence to become future leaders at a time when society tells them they can't. Yes, yes, and yes to that. Pam received her bachelor's in political science and Asian studies from Northwestern University and a graduate degree in international management from Thunderbird. She brings decades of business acumen to the Women's Coaching Alliance. Pam is a connector of people and ideas and a strong advocate for women's leadership. She is an ideator and a visionary who can create, but more importantly, her superpower is getting stuff done. She is unafraid of challenges in her path. Pam is thoughtful, collaborative, and a ray of light, and I so enjoyed talking with her and catching up, amplifying the good work she is doing for girls and women in sport, and hearing about the tangible impact she is making. We need to clone Pam. I cannot wait for you to learn all about what she is doing. Let's talk. Let's talk. I am welcoming Pam Baker, colleague, friend, entrepreneur, and badass woman to the Tucker Center Talks. She is the founder of the Women's Coaching Alliance and so much more. Welcome, Pam.
It is so good to be with you, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start. You and I have known each other for over 10 years now.
That's right. Yes.
And we've intersected and worked together on so many things. Let's talk about your most recent venture, the Women's Coaching Alliance. How did you start the Women's Coaching Alliance and why?
Yeah, so the Women's Coaching Alliance came into being about 2.5 years ago in the middle of 22. And the backstory is it was inspired by my husband, who was the athlete and he was an avid coach to our twin daughters. He just loved coaching, was the product of great coaches himself. And when he was coaching girls, he recognized that it would really be helpful to have some women in the mix. So every season he would try to get women involved in coaching with him. And every season he came up short. And he would often ask this question, where are all the women coaches? And in 2020, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and passed away just a couple months later. And partially because it was during COVID and everybody was locked down, there was this sort of, you know, what do we do to keep his memory alive? And so we set up a fund with our local Parks and Rec Foundation to really align with what he was all about, give every kid the chance to play sports and get a great coach in the process. And I knew that more women in coaching was a key piece of what he was all about. And so that was the idea. And I will tell you, I had no idea what it was going to become. I thought we would just fund scholarships for more kids to play and, you know, somehow figure out how to get more women in the mix. But where we have come to became a much bigger idea, but really inspired by his love of coaching and his advocacy in getting women into coaching with him.
It's such a great origin story. And I would love for you to tell us more about what exactly are we doing in the Women's Coaching Alliance? Like what is your programmatic endeavors that you're tackling right now? Because I know what they are, but I want all of our listeners to know about the good work that you're doing.
Yeah. So our mission is to develop female leaders through coaching youth sport. And the way that we got there was when I knew we wanted to get more women into coaching, I went out and talked to lots of different groups of women. I joke that I was sort of the little bird in Are You My Mother? I would talk to everybody who would listen.
I do remember this time because we would talk and you're like, I just talked to so-and-so. I'm like, oh, you should talk to this so-and-so. Oh, I already talked to them.
I had a lot of coffee.
You did.
And so I would ask a couple of questions. One is, what makes a great coach? And the insight there, so my background was in the corporate world. And the way people would answer that question was how I would have answered it if you asked me, what makes a great leader? Mm. And so I thought that was a really interesting observation. And then as we tried to figure out where the opportunity was for more women to coach, I talked to lots of moms like myself, and they said, you know, I can't possibly add one more thing to my plate. I talked to lots of retirees who were ready to head off and fulfill their bucket list. And they said, you know, not right now. And then I talked to a group of female high school athletes, and I asked them about the idea of coaching. And all of them said to me, this sounds really neat. So sports has done something powerful for me. I like working with kids. Most of them didn't really have a female coach, or many of them throughout their sports career. And they felt good about being that change maker for other kids. And then I asked them, what would get in the way? Dealing with difficult parents. That was it. Every single one of them.
Oh, interesting. Can't blame them. I mean, the sport parents can be quite scary.
Who can blame them? I mean, I've sat on the sidelines and I thought that is a very valid worry. And I thought it was a deal breaker, honestly. And as I thought about it over time, middle of the night, I woke up and thought, you know, dealing with difficult parents is really just like dealing with difficult bosses and direct reports and vendors and partners and colleagues. Exactly. And so if we could give young women the experience of navigating these difficult interactions before they head into the work world, think about how powerful they will be once they hit the work world. And so that really became the idea of how do we use coaching youth sports as a way for young women to develop these lifelong leadership skills that they will carry with them as they head into their lives and careers. And so that's what we created.
It's so good. And I'm thinking, as a young coach, I wish I would have had the Women's Coaching Alliance, because I had no idea how to deal with sport parents. And it was so interesting, like when I made the move from high school coaching to college coaching, and I did tryouts and challenge matches and the roster management, and the phone didn't ring at the college level.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is amazing. Because my phone would literally ring off the hook. And this was before we had cell phones.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just said that. and call screening. So you would just answer the phone.
Right, exactly.
And it would be said parent on the other end with a lot of opinions about things. And no one taught me how to deal with that.
Yeah.
I just had to learn through trial and error.
It's interesting you say that. So we got some great advice from these young women. First, they said, I would want to coach with somebody else. So we pair them in teams of two. So they have somebody else to commiserate with, bounce ideas off of. And then they also get two mentors who support them for that very reason, because our coaches are between the ages of 15 to 26. And so we really felt as though we wanted to set them up for success through all the training that we do, but we also wanted to provide them an adult who could help guide them through some of those difficult interactions.
Yeah, what do I do? Help me.
Exactly. Right. And we've had, you know, I don't like the way this kid talked to my child. I think my kid deserves more playing time. It's the kinds of calls that I'm sure you got again and again. And so we've learned from that experience to say, let's have the mentors there not to step in and take over, because their role is very much to observe, to support, but be there when the coaches need them to help difficult interactions, situations, conversations.
Yeah, a sounding board, a support mechanism, a wise elder, or, you know, just to say, okay, here's some ideas of how you might handle that, and I'm here for you.
Exactly. So yeah, so the two mentors, one has coached themselves, and then the other person is a leader mentor. And the nice thing is, in those situations, The leader mentor's role is to connect the dots between their coaching experiences and how they link to leadership experiences. We had one of our mentors at the local CBS station was out filming our coaches in action, and the mentor was interviewed, and she talked about a difficult interaction they had had that game with the referee. And she said to the coaches, look, I had that last week at work. I have that happen all the time. It's somebody who doesn't report to me. They are a peer. And they approached a situation in a way that I wasn't really happy with. And it was a relationship that I had to maintain. So know that that experience that you just had with the referee will serve you really well as you head out into the work world, because it's the exact same behavior. It's just delivered in a different environment. And so they're constantly helping to connect the dots between, yeah, it happens on a field versus in a conference room, but it looks the same. So these skills will be super transferable for you as you head out into your careers.
And that leader mentor who's not a sport coach, how interesting that must be for that person to go, oh, that just happened with the referee. Here's exactly the same situation in the industry or whatever job they're in, and be able to translate that on the fly. Their experiences must be so interesting.
It's funny that you say that. I've heard from our mentors that the experience of being a mentor to these young women makes them more effective as they go back to the workplace.
Absolutely.
They can see those interactions in a slightly different way. And of course, the ability to take their work experience and provide value to these young women who are still in high school and college. You know, we have our mentors that keep coming back because they see the impact that they're making.
Mm. And before we get to talking more about the impact they're making, I'm thinking for these leader mentors, they're learning also how to deal with cross-generational coaching, because they're seeing the high school and the young women, and they have these young women in their workplace. And
exactly.
So it's like, there's some transferable skills for them too.
Exactly. Absolutely. And one of the things that they say is, right, they learn just from the interaction, from the examples that they carry back to the workplace. And we've had discussions with some of them who have said, hey, I want to keep in touch with these coaches because I can see how capable she is. And when she's ready for an internship or a job, I want first dibs on her. I want to hire her. So that's what we're thinking about, is we'll need a few more years as folks work their way through school, but to create a pool of these young women, they bring all of the leadership skills they've learned through playing. Now they layer on additional leadership skills through coaching. Think of just the impact that they can make as they head into their careers at 22, 24. You're really excited to see what's possible for them.
And what you're doing, Pam, is you are modeling what the data from Ernst & Young said about women that played sports are more likely to succeed at high levels in corporate America. And you're making that explicit.
Yes.
So those women now in corporate America are peers. They didn't have a mentor or a women's coaching alliance. They just figured it out. Now you're accelerating and enriching the process from the outset.
Exactly. And as you and I have talked about, what we're also interested in doing is actually measuring those additive leadership skills that they have learned through coaching, right? They're thinking about how to get the best out of a team of people. They're thinking about how to communicate to each kid on the team so that the message gets across. So clearly there are invaluable leadership skills learned through playing, and we're seeing those, some additional ones really layered on top through the experience of coaching. And to your point, having to answer those phone calls from the parents and negotiate with the referees and the other coaches on the court or on the field. So we're interested in seeing, can we identify what those additive leadership experiences are? Because I have no doubt from my own experience in the work world that they will correlate very closely to what's needed to succeed in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking just off the top of my head as looking back on myself as a young coach, and now that I'm not a young coach anymore, but how all the skills that I learned from coaching, I still use every day.
Yeah.
How do I build my team? How do I communicate? How do I set expectations? How do I build a culture where everybody feels a sense of belonging and feels cared about? How do I leverage everybody's best talents to benefit the team? How do they feel heard? How do I motivate them? How do I teach them new skills and layer that in? So it's so fun at this point in my career to look back and with this conversation of, you know, how do I get optimal performance out of my team with psychosocial skills, with building a culture, with managing anxiety, positive self-talk, our attitudes, giving full effort, like all of these things that we learn in sport and we learn in coaching that now translate.
That you probably, with that coaching experience, you probably don't even think about it, but you just apply what you have learned. And that, I think, is the exciting part, to see what's possible when we have a whole community of young women with those same skills. So Gallup has done some work to say, what's the most effective management style? Well, it happens to be coaching, mm-hmm. right? So we're seeing all of this translatability across the sports world and the business world. And the last piece I will say of what we do is we also pay our coaches.
Wait, I heard some like angels singing or maybe a horn blaring or a siren sounding yes to that.
Yes, exactly. And we do it for a really important reason. So one is because, you know, many of these women will be working elsewhere, if not for coaching. And so we're trying to minimize the challenge of coaching as opposed to something else. But the bigger reason is that we are on a mission to shrink the gender wage gap. And I have hired plenty of babysitters and dog walkers over my daughter's 17 years of life and my dogs. And all of them have been female. And whenever I ask them, what is their rate? They get uncomfortable and sheepish and do not want to talk about money. Mm. And I fundamentally believe that part of the reason that the gender wage gap exists in the work world, and it hasn't really moved over the last 20 years, is because we don't have the conversation about value and worth and asking for what we want early enough.
And what we're worth and knowing our worth. And how do you put a monetary value on that?
Exactly.
Nobody teaches us that.
No, but we will. We use it as a way to crack open this conversation about value and worth and negotiation so that it's, again, another skill that we want these young women to have as they hit the work world so that they can. You know, I was somebody who got paid $20,000 less than the man sitting next to me doing the exact same work. And I didn't say anything about it. And I want to change the pattern for these young women so that they know their worth and they are willing to ask for it. I don't think it's reasonable to say they're all comfortable asking for it, because it's never comfortable for us. But when we have a community of people surrounding us, cheering us on, and helping us stand up for what we are worth, I think we're all going to be more successful and effective. So,
absolutely. Yeah, and we have our cohort of interns every summer. And this summer, for the first time in the 15 years we've done the internship, I did a little financial literacy session with them just to say, I know you don't have any money now, but just put away, you know, $10 a week or a month or whatever you can afford, and it will grow. And it was really interesting to see how they reacted to that. And we also teach them, don't leave money on the table. Don't do things for free all the time. Like, sometimes we do pro bono work, and that's okay when you need to, and it matches your passion and your mission, and that's okay. But how do you set a price? How do you negotiate? It's such great skills. And, you know, ones I'm still working on.
Well, but I think you said it exactly right, which is be the person who decides whether you want to do this for free or not, as opposed to being backed into it. And I talk about, I really call it the financial gremlins, because there is an emotion that sits underneath the topic of money that I find really unique to women. And so I do think it's all the things you talked about understanding how to manage money and, you know, the basics of checking and savings accounts and 401ks and investing and all the rest. And there's something deeper underneath it that is about it not being okay for us to ask for more. I'm greedy. Who do I think I am? All of those
gender bias layers that we internalize.
Exactly. It's that talk track that we're trying to undo before it's so pervasive. By the time they're 30s and 40s, we want to try to short circuit it and kind of rewire it as folks head out into their careers. So
good. So we've been talking a lot about the impact that you see from the young women that go through your programming. Is there anything we've missed about the impact on these young women that you want to mention?
So it's funny, we just got 4 of our most experienced coaches together yesterday.
Wait, before we go there, Pam, how many people have gone through your programming so far?
So we've had about 140 coaches that we've trained. We now coach 8 different sports and we're in 7 communities. But we have very exciting news at the end of the year. We got a grant from Gatorade.
Woo woo, go Gatorade.
Woo! We got a grant from Gatorade to go to LA. So to open a WCA presence in Los Angeles, which we are really excited about. And so we brought together 4 of our most experienced coaches. Between them, they've coached 30 seasons collectively. So yeah, so these gals have been at it for, 20 seasons. But it was striking because one of my colleagues and I were at their, you know, at the community launch 2.5 years ago when all of them were there. And to see these young women now, I mean, it is just stunning to see the confidence, their willingness to speak up, their willingness to put ideas out there that they're not sure that everybody else will agree with, their willingness to navigate some disagreements, their presence. It is one of the things I hope is that this experience gives young women the understanding that just because I'm not confident doing the thing doesn't mean I shouldn't do the thing. It's when I'm not confident that I should lean into it and try it anyway. And that's what all of these young women had said, as we said, you know, what's your best advice that you would give to the young woman in LA who's thinking about joining WCA? And that's what they talked about. You know, just be yourself. You can do this. You have an amazing community around you. They gave them some great advice about asking for help and planning and be ready for the unexpected. I mean, the words of wisdom in that room were not what you typically hear from 17 and 18 year olds. They are wise beyond their years. And it is just, you know, having had the privilege of seeing where they started and where they are now, it is just striking. So
transformational for them. And you can see the impact you're having on these young women. And then they in turn are in their communities impacting with a ripple effect, hundreds of boys and girls in their own community. And that's how change happens.
Yeah, exactly. And to your point, we do coach both boys and girls. And I want to tell a quick story. We are coaching flag football in a community nearby. And it's co-ed, but it's like 90% of the kids are boys. And we had a mentor who was standing on the sidelines. And there was a little boy, it was the very first practice. And there was a little boy who came over to his mom and said, "Oh God, I have girl coaches."
Oh no.
His mom took him to task and said, "Don't you dare. They have," and because our coaches send out their training and that they've played before and all the rest. And so his mom said, "Look, she is ready to coach and all the rest. So he goes out, and about 45 minutes later, he comes back because they're on a water break. And he said, "Hey, Mom, I only have a minute because the coaches said we could just take a quick water break, but it's okay because it is so much fun and they're really good coaches." To hear this and to know that we have turned one little boy's perception of who a coach is around, and thinking about doing that at a macro level across communities, I mean, it really can be super powerful. And so I look forward to the day when kids, both boys and girls, instead of saying, "Hey, my coach is a woman," we're like, "Yeah, so what?
She's a coach.
She's a woman." Exactly. Just normalized.
And that's why I wanted you on this podcast, because I know the good work that you're doing. And I'm willing it into existence, Pam, that every community that wants it has a Women Coaching Alliance chapter embedded in their community, because I believe, and this might just be my opinion, but it's evidence informed, that when we have groups of young women coaching and becoming leaders in communities, that is where change happens. That's how we create the tipping point. And you are doing that work. So I'm shouting it from the rooftop. LA, you are very lucky. You're the next installment. And I hope there's just more to come.
Yeah, I have no doubt, but I appreciate it. And I will it right there with you. I look at the work we're doing and I think, you know, why shouldn't every community have more women in coaching? We'd love to be a part of it. And if we're not, and there are more young women who get out there and raise their hands and say, "Sure, I can do this," that's great too, right? We just want more young women out there coaching and leading, whatever form that takes. We're excited to see it happen.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to go back to this summer where you and I had a session together at the Play Like a Champion Educational Summit at Notre Dame. And I helped found that initiative in a different form when I was there as a postdoc. And so I went back and you were there and we did a session on how do we get more women in coaching. And I said, you know, here's what we know from the research. And then you talked about what you're doing. And I put up a slide. I'm like, here's what we know from the research. We've talked to women that coach who are former college athletes, and women that don't coach are former college athletes. How do we get more women into coaching? We came up with some things, and there was 9 or 10 things on the slide. And afterwards, you and I looked at each other and you said to me, "Well, I'll let you say what you said."
So I looked at your slide of 8 things and I went in, and I've seen your slide many times, because when we were starting Women's Coaching Alliance, I knew your research. And so I went in and I must have said to somebody, "Oh yeah, we've done about half of Nicole's recommendations." And then as you were talking, I actually read through all 8 and I ticked off, "We did that, we did that, we did that." In fact, we have taken all 8 of your recommendations. And so I think it's just a great reminder. Sometimes you do research and it sort of, you know, sits in a filing cabinet somewhere. Your research has informed not only what we've done, but how we've done what we've done. We make sure to tell the adults in the community, these young women won't raise their hands to coach on their own. You need to ask them to coach.
Yes.
Right? We need to have young women like work together, partner in peers. They need to be supported by mentors who can guide them. I mean, the research that you have done is spot on, and we have pulled it through in how we structured the Women's Coaching Alliance. So thank you for doing that work, because it has really made a difference.
You're very welcome. And this is exactly why I do what I do.
Yeah.
I love to do research that we can translate in a tangible impact. And so it was a real aha moment for both of us, sort of on the fly, to go, okay, here's the research and this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it was sort of, I don't know, it was one of those moments in my career where like,
yeah,
this is it. This is why I do it. So for those people that don't have not seen my slides 100 times, some of the strategies are ask and invite women. Don't think they're going to come to you. Include female mentorship. Include a co-coaching option, which I know you do. Offer female-only coaching clinics, only women, taught by women.
Yep.
Promote early involvement, which you're doing by getting the young girls in high school involved. Help them translate skills between athlete, coach, and leader, and make it easy.
Yeah.
Make it easy.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it's textbook for us. And it's been a great roadmap to really guide the way that we've built this. So thank you for that.
You're so welcome. I'm glad that it's been useful. Okay. So on the horizon, so many things. If you do not follow Pam Baker and the Women's Coaching Alliance on LinkedIn or all the socials, do that, because every day I'm on there, I'm like, wow, Pam is knocking it out of the park. Now what is she doing? So you have a lot of exciting things on the horizon. Other than expanding to LA, give me one other thing you're excited about right now.
Yeah, so the NBA All-Star event is coming to the Bay Area on February 14th, 15th, 16th. And the NBA has asked us to help them build some programming for young women. So we have an event on February 16th at Moscone for those folks who will be here for the NBA All-Star or who live here. It's open to young women aged 14 and up. It's going to be a great kind of two-part event where we've got the coaches from the Valkyries helping to lead some small coaching clinics and get young women out there learning.
Which is the new WNBA expansion team, for those who don't know.
It is. Thank you. I mean, I feel like it's so front and center. We're fortunate to have Jess Smith, the president, on our board. So they are a big part of what we do. So yes, our new WNBA team. So that'll be the first piece. And then we have an amazing group of about 24 different women who work in roles across the sports ecosystem coming together for small panel conversations with all of our participants to talk about how they've taken an interest in sports and translated that into careers, mm-hmm. whether it's front office, coaching, marketing, building stadiums, statistics, you name it. The idea is to help more young women think about, I really like this game. What could I do with it from a career? It's not just about coaching, which is a great option. There are zillions of other opportunities as well. And the idea is not only to expose them to those ideas, but give them a chance in these smaller conversations to actually meet these women so that they can stay connected and, you know, develop mentors and connect with them as they're thinking about their own next step. So we're super excited.
Yeah, so they're not having to do what you said you were doing earlier. Will you be my mentor? Will you be my mentor?
Exactly.
It's like they're all in one room.
Right.
You know, what a gold mine.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about all the women that you're mentoring and developing into amazing humans. What would be your best piece of advice to young women that you would give them?
Yeah, I think it is this, what we heard from our coaches, do it and you can do a lot more than you think you can.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that butterfly in your stomach that you think means I shouldn't do it because I'm nervous, if it excites you, if you're drawn to it, if you're leaning towards it, those are the ahas to say, this is something that I really want to do. And what is holding me back? If it's fear, push through the fear. I will tell you, I had no idea how to start a nonprofit. I was not a coach myself. I didn't know any of what we have created. And, you know, really it started with this idea. And when it's something that kind of keeps coming back, that is a signal to move towards instead of away from it. And I think the more that we can do that as women at all ages, boy, the more powerful we can all be together.
Agree. And I will add to that from a sports psychology perspective, when we feel the butterflies, which we may interpret as anxiety and fear, it means that you care.
Yeah, great perspective.
And you're excited about it instead of fearful. When we reframe that, it helps us go towards something rather than away. And also with confidence, what we know from the literature is that you can do something even when you don't feel confident. You can still do it. And I always go back to Brandi Chastain, you know, the classic story in the 99 World Cup. They're in penalty kicks. She's the last penalty kicker. And right before she kicks, her coach is like, "And I need you to kick it with your left foot." And she goes, "Okay." So she's thinking like, "I don't kick penalty kicks with my left foot. This is the biggest moment in my career, the final penalty kick to win the World Cup." She didn't feel confident, but she did it anyway, and she nailed it, and they won. So I love that story about her.
It's so true.
I hope I'm doing that justice.
There's not a single one of our coaches that thinks she's going to be good at it at the beginning of the season. Not a single one. And at the end of the season, it's not as though everything went perfectly. Of course it didn't. But wow, to see, I mean, I keep joking, I'm going to do a study where we measure them at the beginning of the season, at the end of the season. I swear they all stand at least a quarter of an inch taller. Their shoulders are back. The confidence and the belief they have in themselves, it is visible.
Mm-hmm.
Your point, it's not the butterflies are not the run screaming in the other direction. They are lean forward because, yeah, this is something you care about. Yeah. And yeah, you're more powerful than you know.
That is so true. Okay, we're going to end with a speed round, Pam.
Okay.
There's three questions and there are no right or wrong answers.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? Number one, what is at the top of your playlist right now?
Oh, all things Noah Kahan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Love that. Okay. Who is your favorite badass woman right now?
Favorite badass woman. Oh gosh. Let's see. You know, I have to say, and I know her because she just joined our board, but Jess Smith, who is the president of the WNBA, she is not 40 years old and she is leading this WNBA team. It is amazing to see. And she is kind and thoughtful and smart and collaborative. And she is the kind of people I think we just need more of at every level. So yeah, I'm a fan.
Okay. And she's the president of the Valkyries.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, typically I ask, who is the most influential scholar that has impacted your research? But I'm going to modify this for you. Who is a woman that has been a mentor to you that has influenced your work?
Oh, a mentor to me. Gosh, this is so hard to pick one.
You can have more than one.
I had some amazing supporters as this idea was coming to fruition. You know, one of my board members, Chris, who was the person who my husband Doug came to when he was first coaching girls, and he was like, "I don't think I can coach girls. What do I need to know about these beings?" And you know, she gave him great advice, and she really reinforced the importance of this idea. My friend Jane, who's also on the board, who I came to and said, "Here's my idea." And she said, "Okay, how can I help make it happen?" My friend Karen, who, you know, as we were sort of, you know, working at this level, she's a strategist and she helped us bring it all together. So, I mean, and that is just a short list. There are so many people who have supported me personally, our family, this idea in so many ways. It's so hard to count, but man, the village that has helped this and me really move this forward. It's just, I can't count them all.
So good. And I have to say, every time I ask someone this question, nobody can say just one. So
good to know. I'm in company.
All right, Pam. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of Tucker Center Talks.
Great to see you. Thanks, Nicole.
Be sure to check out our many free evidence-based resources on our website at tuckercenter.org and follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. This podcast was produced by Tucker team member Lindsay Hofer. Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you for listening to Tucker Center Talks. As we wrap, give yourself grace, support others, and let the data tell the story in ways that help us all accelerate systems change for girls and women in sport. I'm your host, Dr. Nicole Lavoie, signing off to make a difference in the lives of girls and women in sport.